All right, well, tonight, God willing, we'll open up to Matthew 1. And we're going to go back at it by his grace for more bridal glory in the story of the Savior's birth. And so there just might be, for a few, you know, some hidden treasure in here tonight to encourage us on. And I pray truly in my heart of hearts, Lord, just let this cause us to be more awake and alive and just more captivated truly of every thought of the beauty of who you are, what your plan is for us with you in the heights of your glory, that bridal bliss. And Lord, may we just be longing truly if we see our lives riding that camel. That, Lord, could this be the final hill? You know, could this one be the final hill? And it's not, again, to get out of here. But, again, wonderful fringe benefit. Don't get me wrong. But it's to be with him and to thank him for who he is. And just to praise him throughout eternity, arm in arm, face to face, praise God. But let's go ahead and read verses 18 through 25. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So this is before they had known one another. She's pregnant. All right. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Isn't that sweet? He called his name Jesus. And just love so much of this precious text. But I specifically tonight just want to praise God for the testimony of Joseph. As the word of God says here, he was a just man. But I love the interpretation of that as well too. He was just a man. And I'm thankful to God that I can be encouraged in that. But he was a man that battled human emotions. He was a man that battled what his eyes were seeing. He was a man that was battling with his mind, trying to comprehend a pregnant wife-to-be that he believes is a virgin. Let me tell you something. Joseph was under attack. I mean, you know, that's one thing about the Word of God. You get a couple sentences. Let me tell you something. You talk about a fiery furnace for a man. This was a fiery furnace because he loved her and he was a tender man. He was a just man and he didn't want to embarrass her in his thoughts, thinking that she's pregnant and they have not known one another. He basically was thinking, well, I'm not going to bring her before man to divorce her. I'm going to go ahead and do this in private because I don't want to embarrass her. So let's be honest here. Basically, Joseph didn't have a clue to what was going on. Amen. Didn't have a clue. Sound like your life? Huh? You think? But see, even if we be otherwise minded, he'll make that known unto us. That's the promise of God. Amen. And that's exactly it. Because God in his faithfulness, what does he always do? He sends the word. Sends the word. And the angel of the Lord came. And notice, appeared to Joseph in a dream. And I love this about these dreams oftentimes. And, you know, you think about a dream, I think about a state of sleep. So Joseph is asleep to this. He's needing to be awakened. He's needing to be revived. And I love the message that the angel of the Lord gives him. Nothing lengthy. Right to the point. Don't you fear, Joseph, that she's with child? Quit looking at the circumstance of it all, Joseph. This is of the Holy Ghost. She is your spouse. Get married. Isn't that something? I just love it. You're calling, Joseph. You're calling. And this is so sweet of what the word of the Lord does in his life. Makes it absolutely certain. This, in spite of what he's seen, in spite of all of the circumstances, the thing that is emphasized to Joseph, this is of the Holy Ghost. This is what the Holy Ghost has done. This is what the Holy Ghost has enlightened. This is what the Holy Ghost, praise God, under the Godhead, has done. Joseph, you take her as wife. You do not delay. Trust my spirit, this is your calling. Now, why is that being emphasized so much? It's because of the encouragement it brings to us. Because I'm going to ask you something. How does it naturally look to your eyes that the Lord has a calling upon your life to marry his son Jesus? Does it seem impossible? Does it seem like it would be just completely unlikely? Does it seem to you that maybe the same way as Joseph, that, oh my goodness, this is just impossible? But all I can say is, what encouragement to my life, no matter how it looks. Jesse, you go after that bridal truth. Amen? It doesn't matter what's going on. You believe that Jesus Christ desires you for his bride because the Spirit of the Lord has said it. And what is conceived, praise God, in this message of Paul's gospel, oh yes, is of the Holy Ghost. Is that correct? Oh yes, it is. And I love this encouragement that's brought out here. See, again, it's all over the place. See, all the impossibility of what everybody else thinks, everybody else preaches. Because people could say, well, you know, my church doesn't preach that, and I've never heard that, and things. I'm just going to ask you, as you've been in here long enough, does not the Bible tell you that? Do you not see the bridal message throughout the Word of God? It's very clear, isn't it? You have to explain it away, which you can't. And to deny it, you have to. From the very beginning with Adam and Eve in the rib portion, why? What is that about? Well, there's nothing else that it could be about, except that there's a wife and there's a portion coming out of a sleeping body, which happens to be the state of the church right now, because they don't want to accept this. They do not want to believe this, just as Joseph here, sleeping. And the word of the Lord comes. And praise be to God, he got up. Amen? Praise be to God, he heard it, and he awakes from sleep. You go on through our wonderful scriptures, you go all over the place. Genesis 24, that precious story of Rebekah and Isaac. Why is it so incredibly detailed? Why is it so absolutely exact to every phrase of the bridal message of Jesus Christ and his bride? Exact to the detail of how the Father has sent his servant, the Holy Ghost, to minister to a woman that will hear. To hear this at the well. And the Son is not sent. The Son is still with the Father. Exact to the detail. And she believes and she will go. And she says, I will go. And that servant makes it very clear. There cannot be any delay. You have to go now. No matter how much the family wants you to just stay around for a day or two, you're going to miss it if you stay around for just a day or two. We go over to the Song of Solomon. Man tries to explain that away as, well, there's your, you know, instructional of how you be a good husband and wife. That's what that was for. Are you nuts? It just appears out of the Word of God like that. It's just crazy to think that, what are you, again, you have to be on a bend to explain away bridal truth. Because it's so evident every single place in the Word of God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? So again, it's something that we rejoice, we give thanks to God for. But again, it's not because I'm anything special, it's because he is all special. And praise God, we're in the time of a better thing, exceeding great promises. Amen? And yes, we live in the time of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise you, Lord. All of these things. And we could go on and on and on about that, but my wife told me I had to get through quickly tonight. I actually said that out loud. I'm sorry. I'm just teasing her a little bit. We actually are going in the morning, but we're not in any hurry. Praise God. But see, and she was just teasing. I'm going to pay for that. All right. So, where was I? So your calling, praise God, is just like Joseph, to look past all of the circumstances and, son, take me as your wife. Take me as your husband. It's that spousal relationship is what it's getting at here. And all of the impossibility, as I said, about everybody else, or how about all of the impossibility of even myself, like Joseph? Amen. Boy, I'm looking at the natural circumstances. I better explain this away because it just doesn't seem believable. It's just too much of a miracle. How could it be possible? But it's all trumped every time, because what does it say in the Word of God? What does the Word of the Lord say? See, aren't you thankful that by the grace of God, Joseph believed? You don't hear of any wrestling match after the Word of the Lord told him this. He believed God. He took that woman. And he didn't touch her until that baby was going to be born. He didn't care. And it doesn't even go on to say what anybody else said. And let me tell you something. A lot of people said a lot of stuff to that Joseph, and you know it. Because there weren't people that were believing at all, which is the same today. They make movies of it and mock it and all of these things. That Mary wasn't a virgin. Do we not have something better to talk about? But that's the evil. That's the evil of this world, and they want to do these things. Deny it, cast it aside, mock it. But again, that's when you know, praise God, as the Word of God says, oh yes, I told you they would do that. I told you they would. They will not believe. Though they see one rise from the dead, they will not believe. And they saw it, and they knew it, and they still would not believe. But I thank God because God says it, and praise God, we are to read it, hear it, and believe it. And I think about how many men, again, I mentioned this not too long ago, have been insulted by others about the thought of marrying Jesus. And I'm telling you, I've now heard this from 4 or 5 in the past 3 or 4 months. Christians with no vision, Christians with no vision insulting men. It would be a homosexual thought for you to marry Jesus as bridegroom. And I just sit there, again, in unbelief. Are you that dense to the Word of God? See, this is talking about the height of love that we could even comprehend or understand. And he will have a wife. He will have that queen with him when he takes that throne as God. But did we not forget that in heaven there is, again, there's no continuing of these things that we naturally know. There's no continuing or giving in a sense of marriage there. We're talking about the marriage of the Lamb. It's different, but yet our encouragement is what we understand as men and women. But then again, there's neither male nor female. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. Praise God. And that's right now in Christ. See, that's not just for someday. That's right now. That's actually who we are. Yes, we function as humans, and I thank God for what he's made me and my wife and all of these different things, but praise be to God, in all reality, do you see what problems that just completely just demolishes at that time? If we're all one in him, what are we fussing about being different? Amen? See how Jesus takes care of everything? And don't we praise him and thank him? That the moment we said, Jesus, come into my life, I died, crucified with him. Yet, nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we thank him for this absolute truth. But see, ignorance and unbelief is just that. Did you hear me? Ignorance and unbelief is just that. And you think of Thomas. How many times was Thomas told over and over and over, Jesus is going to die and he's going to rise again? There's going to be a resurrection, Thomas. There is. He heard these things, got excited about these things and all of that. But boy, when the crucifixion happened, I'm not believing that stuff. I saw him die. He's dead. He ain't coming back. There's no way. I've got to put my fingers in the holes in his hands and put my hand in his side. Until I do that, and then bam, Jesus appears. And Jesus says to him after he says, "Oh my Lord." Jesus says, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." Huh? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You see, brothers and sisters, this is what this is getting at. A trump is about to sound. There's a trumpet blast that's going to sound, and it will. The Bible tells us it will. Just like what we're doing Christmas and all, pretty much every Christian I know, we're all getting excited. I get, "Happy Jesus' birthday, happy Jesus' birthday, happy Jesus' birthday." That's great. I love it. Thank you, Lord, that you came. But why aren't you believing he said, "I'm coming again in like manner"? Why aren't you believing that he said that the first trump? Why aren't you believing that he will appear to those that are looking and loving his appearing? Why don't we just have another holiday every day? The looking and loving his appearing day. Amen. I don't know, but if we're doing it, we might as well do it for all the truth. Amen. Oh, it's loving his appearing day. Every day. Nope, sun's going down. It's loving his appearing evening. It just is. But you get it, right? Well, I'm getting it. But see, a trump is about to sound, and if we do not believe in the bridal message, you won't hear it. Just as we read about the birth story. There were many that heard it. There were many that thought about it, read about it. But they didn't believe it. It was just something they heard along the way. It was just something that got old and passed them by. And I pray we see the parallel and encouragement in this scripture. See, all the enemy wants to do is discourage Christians out of the bride. That's all he wants to do. See, he's just there to steal, kill, and to destroy. He knows he cannot keep his Christian out of heaven, but he sure knows he can rob from you. He sure knows that if you'll go his way, he'll keep you blind to the truth. He'll keep you with deafened ears. He'll keep you tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. He'll keep you always thirsting for something that will never satisfy you. And that's the truth. He'll keep you in a place till the very end, which is very sad, and I've heard it from many people. Even in a short time, I wish I had. It's very sad how few a time I hear, "I'm so thankful he did that in my life." And I'm talking Christians. And it just grieves my heart. Yes, the hope of the Lord, oh honey, it's good. All those tears and sorrow, it's going to be turned to joy. That cup will be full. But oh, I'm telling you, man, when I get the privilege to be at a bedside and hold the hand of a Sister McGuire, golly, I feel like Elijah. "You're not going unless I'm going with you." You know, that kind of stuff. Because it's full joy time. Speaking with sweet Lydia. Thinking about her sweet mom back there. And last time I got a visit with her. Just the joy. The absolute anticipation. Not just to be in heaven. But oh, I have finished my course. When you can really say that by the grace of God. And knowing that by his grace I kept the faith. I fought a good fight. There wasn't any compromise. I did not deny the name. And I'm talking about the name bridegroom. Praise God. Now that is a full joy finish. And that, praise God, is what is being encouraged here. See? See, the enemy, he just wants to discourage. Whether by others that don't believe or even in ourselves when we doubt. We doubt the word. Does it really mean that? And see, God help us. What is the sin that so easily besets all of us is unbelief. Amen? See, when we say we love Jesus, When we say we love Jesus, why do we wrestle with the truth? Why do we not want to stand on the promises of God? If we really say we love the Lord, and our wonderful Father says, the only way and the most beautiful way and the simplest way, and again, I go back to the only way you please me, is by believing the Word of God. Why do we not want to believe the Word of God? Why do we want to be entertained with other things but the Word of God? Why do we want to try to concoct all of these different things that might get us more excited about the Word of God? When there's nothing more exciting, there isn't anything exciting but the Word of God. There isn't. When you really say, Lord, I want to see this, you understand there really isn't anything exciting. I thank God for fishing and hunting, but compared to the bridal truth, it can't stand up there, you know. But see, then we get the name Jesus, Joseph says here. He gets to know the name Jesus. Joseph, the one the Lord says now, go on, take your spouse. He's the one that knows the name. Now, there's something coming here, and I see one's already jumped ahead, and that's wonderful. I'm glad the Spirit's already got you there. But see, ones that are called to wed, ones that are called to marry, always know the name. They know the name no one else knows. And you think of he knew that name just as the bride is the only one that knows the name that no one knows. They know the name bridegroom. Go on over to Revelation 3. This is what I'm talking about in the Philadelphia church, verses 12 and 13. See, this is the Philadelphia church again. This is the church that is spared from the tribulation. This, by the grace of God, is the mark for the prize of this company of saints that we aspire to, that we want to win, that we want to be in the company, hallelujah, of the Philadelphia church, the church of brotherly love, the Philippian runners, hallelujah. And praise God, these are the ones that live up into that time. And praise God, they're the ones that are alive and remain, that are caught up into the cloud together with the Lord. But here in the precious 12th verse, it says, him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. Now, if you were here this morning, you remember that New Jerusalem. That's the name of the bride. Isn't that interesting that it's found in the Philadelphia church? The only one of the seven that is kept from the tribulation? It's beautiful, isn't it? Just so perfect. So fantastic, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. Remember we said, we read there in Revelation 21, she descends from heaven having the glory of God in her light. This is the Philadelphia church. This is the one that it says it of. All right? And I will write upon him my new name. Oh my goodness, a new name? I mean a name that no one else knows but the spouse? Just like Joseph? I'm going to tell you that name, Joseph. It's Jesus. And I'm going to tell you that name, you bridal runners. It's bridegroom. It's not a mystery, hallelujah. When you fall in love, it's evident because, oh, yea, the deep things of God by my Spirit. So he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So wonderful. Now on to verse 22. Let's go on back. Almost done. Spouses in the Bible always, praise God, it's the same purpose. They fulfill the word. Now listen to that verse 22 again in Matthew 1. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. So again, it fulfilled the word. It completed it. Amen? So that's the wonderful thing about spouses in the word of God. They fulfill. There's a completion. You think about even in the natural. I mean, that's why, truly, why we marry. Because there's a completion there. That life completes my life. I complete that life. It's not whole without each. But with each, it's still one. It's amazing. Makes us the people we could never be. Because it's not just a half and a half. It becomes amazing. It's exponential because of this love, and how much more so with Christ and the bride. But see, this bridal message fulfills and completes the word of God. Paul's gospel completes Jesus. Now, I tell that to people and they say, what are you talking about? Paul's gospel completes Jesus? Well, let's go ahead and look over here in Colossians chapter 1. And in Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 and 26, and this is what spouses do. And this is the bridal calling. It fulfills or completes. And that's what I want you to see with Joseph. In his call to Mary, there was a fulfillment of the word of God. It completed it. Now listen to what this completion of our bridal calling is in verses 25 and 26. Now Paul says, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And that word fulfill means to complete the word of God. Can I ask you again? Who is the word of God? Jesus. So does not this say that Paul's gospel was given to complete Jesus? Amen. Because it's his wife. It's the message of his proposal. We're back to that marrying again. Amen. The spouse, praise God, God completes him. Even the mystery, go on verse 26, which has been hid from ages. And that is that mystery that we'll read here. And from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what's that hope of glory for your life? That you'll be of that company that's descending from heaven, having the glory of God. Praise the Lord. All of this precious testimony of how madly in love the Lord is with you and just wants you to grow up. Isn't that something? I love it. I love telling the story always of my brother-in-law. Said it again recently, and he went to be with the Lord. And I asked you to pray for my sister-in-law, Carol. But it was so sweet when he went to go on that first date with her older sister. It was, he comes back and he's starry-eyed and his mom looks at him and says, man, Billy, what's going on here? How was your date? Oh, Mom, I met the girl I'm going to marry. Well, you know, Carol at that time, I think, was about 13 or 14, if I remember right, wasn't she, Lynn? And I think it was Jane was the older sister that she had went over there. And she said, you like Jane that much? He said, oh, no, not Jane, Mom. I met her young sister, Carol. And I'm just going to wait for her to grow up. Are you listening? You see what I'm saying? He marked it. And thanks be to God. You know what? It happened. But now this is the word of God. And he sees that because that potential is in every child of God. Because every child of God has been born with the life of the little Lord of all. How much will we grow? Will we grow up into him in all things? Do you know that the word of God says that? That we grow up into him in all things. And how does that happen? Speaking or preaching what? Truth in love. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. It's not pounding on a pulpit and saying you've got to believe. And if you don't, you're going to hell. It's truth in love. It's a love story. He wins you with love. Sometimes, early on, it's like a child growing up. You get fearful and you learn. But when it's the courting time, when it's the wooing time, there's no force at all. It's a privilege. When you see how beautiful the one who wants to marry you is, oh my goodness, it's overwhelming. So, finally we get to verse 24. We'll wrap it up here. Joseph hears, and then he arises from sleep. Isn't that something? I love how it says there. It says, then Joseph, in verse 24, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. You see, you'll never take Christ as bridegroom unless you wake up. Never will. You'll just stay asleep. You'll be asleep to it. If you want to marry, you have to hear the word of God. And it's there for you to hear, and you're hearing it tonight. But again, what will you do? Will you just kind of roll back over like the dead log and say, well, that was good for somebody else, but I kind of like the sleeping. It's comfortable. It's great. But think even in the natural, the things that you slept through that you missed. This is the one thing you never want to sleep through. You don't want to sleep through this. God has given us everything to wake up out of it. But see, the message is there to all, but a choice has to be made to hear and awaken to the truth. 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us, those that are alive, that are awake, will be caught up together with him in the clouds, in the air. Christians asleep to this bridal message will stay asleep, and they'll awake someday, but too late. You ask the five foolish virgins, as the word of God talks about them. You can hear about a wedding. You can know about a wedding. You can think you're going to a wedding. But if you don't have the oil, the Holy Ghost, bringing the love and shedding it abroad in your heart, you'll miss it. It will be too late. So the angel of the Lord bids him, and Joseph responds to the fullest and took his spouse. Always there to take it. Readied from the very beginning. It was meant for him. Amen? Would you not say it was meant for Joseph from the very beginning? And all he had to do was hear it, receive it, believe it, which is awakening, and lay hold. And here we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ giving his hand in marriage and just saying, receive it, believe it, awaken, and praise God, and just lay hold. Amen. Well, I thank the Lord for it, and I pray it encourages you tonight. But it's in here. And by his Spirit, yea, the deep things of God. And I love when he takes another little layer off the onion, as they say, and we go down a little bit further and a little bit deeper. But you know the beautiful thing? Still the same truth. Still just the same cookie. But I thank God I got another love letter in my heart mailbox again this week. And it was sitting there in Matthew 1. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Then he sent another one in Matthew 2. And you know what? By the grace of God, he'll continue to send them. Because that's all he is. He's love. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.